Good, and I'm going to be teaching on something tonight, or preaching. Hard to say what it's called. It's the Word of God. You take it for what it is. But I'm going to be, the title of my message tonight, Two Kinds of Wisdom. Because there's two kinds of wisdom in this world, and we're going to be talking on those two kinds of wisdom. And depending on which wisdom you follow after, will be whether you're successful in life. So the two kinds of wisdom, so I'm going to get right into it. There was a preacher on the radio that made this comment, and you've probably heard it. I know we've heard it before, but it just hit me, and that's kind of where this message came from when I heard him say this. It said, foresight is better than hindsight. I mean, if you knew what was going to happen in the future, you're better off, because if you already go through it, you live with hindsight, but you may have some consequences. So foresight is better than hindsight, but insight is better than either one of those. If you can get godly wisdom, it will protect you as you go down the life, through life. And there was this song that I taught my kids when they were younger, and it was kind of weird because Bob and I used to do go out with clown and puppet ministry. And so Bob was a nerd. I know that's hard to believe. His name, his character name was Lynn, and his last name was Nerd. And so he always came out dressed really cute, very nerdy, tape glasses. I know, I gotta find pictures so everybody can actually believe you did that. But he came out as Lynn Nerd, and I was a clown, and our kids would go out to with us, and my son would run sound, and he'd do puppets, and my daughter would do puppets, and we had another couple that would go out with us, and we'd go out and visit churches, and we'd hold kids' crusades and do things. Well, I came across this song, and I thought it was really cool, and the weirdest thing about it is it's been probably 25 years, maybe, since this song, I heard it, and I still catch myself singing this song. Forgive me if it's not on pitch. Carol will catch it right off. Like, you are flat or you're sharp. I don't know. She'll catch it, but just forgive me. The song goes, I choose to be obedient to the word of God. I choose to give glory to my King. I choose the way of wisdom, the wisdom from above. Yes, I choose. Yes, I choose to do the right thing. And that was the chorus. And that has stuck with me for years. And I'm sure my kids probably would go around singing it too. But the words are so good. I choose the way of wisdom, the wisdom from above. I choose to do the right thing. Wisdom is something we have to make a choice to follow. And so, as I was, blah, I know I should have my clown outfit on, right? As I was, the past few weeks, I was studying Solomon and how much wisdom this man had. I mean, we all know that David was a man after God's own heart, and Solomon wanted to be like his father. He wanted to follow after his father. He wanted to succeed. He wanted to build a temple because his father couldn't do it because he had been a soldier and he had blood on his hands. He couldn't build that temple. But Solomon could build this temple. And to think that his father was passed away and he was in this big responsibility to run this whole country and to build a temple. Can you imagine the weight on his shoulders? I mean, all of us want to make our parents proud. Is this true or not? We do. And here Solomon was. I'm sure he was seeking God, or else he would not have had the dream that he had. And we all know the dream. The dream was that he was there. And in 1 Kings 3 is where you find this. It says, God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and the Lord told Solomon, ask what I shall give you. Now, here's the deal. God said, ask me whatever you want. Now, I was in with the kids a few weeks back, and I did this before I taught on Solomon. I said, if you could have anything in the world and you could ask God for it, what would you ask for? We had PlayStations. We had, money, I want to win my ball game, all these things. But if I went out on the street up to, let's say I went to Elliott's, and I said, if you could ask for anything in the world, what would you ask for? Do you think they'd be any less selfish than the kids would have asked? Probably not. Oh, I'd like to win the lottery. Oh, I'd like $1,000, $1,000,000. Oh, I'd like to have this, I'd like to have that. But how many of them would ask for God's wisdom? How many would ask? That is what Solomon did. He asked for God's wisdom. And the story after he asked for God's wisdom is amazing. But Solomon did not ask selfishly for wealth. He didn't ask to destroy his enemies. That's what the Bible says. But he wanted to understand, to discern justly. And God honored his request. And he not only gave him wisdom, but he gave him all those other things. He gave him wealth. He gave him knowledge. Now, Father wants us to ask him, because here's the deal. You have not because you ask not, but do you ask amiss? Do we ask God and not ask correctly? Because God wants you to seek him first, and that's what Solomon did. Do you ever get into a situation where you seek God? How many has ever really gotten on their knees before and sought God? Let's raise your hand if you've ever really sought God. Did you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And did you see all these things come to you? There's times that our prayers don't get answered because I'm not God. We're not God. He knows more than we do. But when you seek him, he's so faithful. He's so faithful to come through. So what is Solomon known for? What is the biggest thing? If I ask around the room and I said, what do you know Solomon for? There's probably a few answers. Number one, he's kind of known for a lot of the Proverbs. Good thing. You would probably go to the Queen of Sheba. She traveled miles to come to hear him, how intelligent and wise he was, and to answer questions she didn't know the answers to. But when we get into the Word of God, we're going to see the very first thing that Solomon is known for his wisdom for. So open your Bibles tonight, because we're going to go to Godly Wisdom Glorifies God. So let's turn to 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3. I don't even have it up there. So in 1 Kings 3, let's start with, I may not have given you the right verses up there. Let's go with verse 11. Let's start there, because it says, then God said to him, because you've asked this thing for wisdom to be able to judge justly, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself and asked life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I've done according to these words. See, I've given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone like you rise after you. And I also have given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor. So there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So it goes on that he asked. And verse 16, 1 Kings 3, 16. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, oh my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she laid on him. Verse 20, so she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, but that living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Now, that would be a hard one to figure out. Number one, there's no witnesses, just these two women. Nobody else was in the house. It's her word against her word. It's kind of like having, like I used to tell my sister this. She only had one child. Now, if you only have one child, I'm sorry, this might bother you. She only had one child, and I told her, you know what? When something goes wrong in the house and something's broke, you know who did it. You don't have to have wisdom. I got two kids. I got to figure out which one did it. And that's about what Solomon had to do. He had to figure out which one was really the mother. So verse 23, and the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other one says, no, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king. She yearned with compassion for her son and said, oh, my lord, give her the living child. By no means kill him. But the other woman said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. Wow. When I read this, a lot of things went through my mind. How many read the Bible and all of a sudden you get these questions pop up? Like, that's not normal. That's weird. Okay. Number one, the two women were harlots. Now, how do two women that live that kind of a life get to come before the king? Do you ever think about that? How many's ever thought about that? Anybody? Am I the only one? Okay, I'm the weird one here. But how did two women that live that lifestyle actually get to come before the king? I do not know the answer. If you're waiting for the answer, I do not know. Just my simple little mind trying to dissect this. So did Solomon, you know, he had a tendency to really like women. Was that why? I don't know. Because this is his first thing that he judged with wisdom. It doesn't give all this other, I don't have another context to turn to that he had wisdom before this. This is the first example of his wisdom. Then I got to thinking, why the women? Did the women talk to everybody in town? Did they already go through courts before him over this child? Where did he get his wisdom? He got it from God. And why did he have this wisdom? Simple little questions. But verse 28 of chapter 3, the reason why. And all of Israel heard the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. I choose the way of wisdom, the wisdom from above. I choose to give glory to my king. Those two women who were sinners came before the highest of high in the land. And God loved them. Do you find that amazing that God loves sinners? Do you find it amazing that even though they were sinners, he still cared? That's amazing to me. He got glory from a tragic accident. He got glory, and through the whole land, his wisdom, just how much wisdom he had was shed across the land. So God got the whole glory for that. The second point is worldly wisdom compared to godly wisdom. Okay, here's the deal. Now let's put it this way. I had and you've probably heard this before, but preachers say, if this bothers you or upsets you, just keep smiling, curl your toes in, and smile. And nobody will know if it gets you, okay? But here's the deal. If we turn over to James, let's go ahead and go over to James 1:5. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. How many has prayed that prayer? I've prayed it. Is anybody? Okay, I'm the only one that's ever prayed for wisdom. Okay, and know and believe God that he's going to give it to us liberally. Okay. I'm sure there's others out there. But here's the deal. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Who are you asking for wisdom? Who are you asking for wisdom? Have you ever thought about that? Okay, you have a problem. You go to the phone, you pick it up, and you call Kathy Chatty down the street. And you tell Kathy Chatty your problem, and Kathy Chatty gives you wisdom. True? Hang up. Well, Kathy Chatty, maybe Kathy Chatty's not the best person. So Louise Loudmouth over here, I'm going to give Louise Loudmouth a phone call. You call her up. You tell her what your problem is. She gives you wisdom. Before long, you've went through 10 people, and then you finally decide that maybe you'll go back and watch some reruns of Oprah or Dr. Oz, and maybe you'll get some wisdom that way. But what we fail to do is, where does our wisdom come from? It comes from above. You are seeking earthly wisdom for your problems. And when you seek earthly wisdom, you're going to have earthly problems. You're going to follow the wrong advice, because there's a God out there that has a godly wisdom. So here's the deal. These two women, they went to Solomon because they wanted godly judgment. They wanted justice. They went to godly counsel. When you have a problem, go to godly counsel, because he's the one that'll give you the wisdom. Because there is an earthly wisdom that comes from not very good things. Let's go to James 3:13. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom." Go to the person that's meek and wise. There's older people here that younger people should go to. Don't go to your friends and ask them, if they're not walking with God, what to do. I mean, the beautician knows everything. She hears all the scoop of stuff. Is she really the one you should be telling everything to? Because you know where that's going to go. And there's some people in the world that go to bars, and they tell bartenders everything. Not godly. Not godly at all. But how many of you get on your knees and talk to God first? Because that's where your wisdom is going to come from. James 3:14 says, "But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your heart, boasting and lie against the truth, the wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and here's a hard one, it's even demonic." Because earthly wisdom tries to manipulate. Earthly wisdom is self-centered, it's eye-seeking, it's only me and what I want. And that can be demonic. That's a hard one, isn't it? Did you know the Word of God said that? Now, if I'm on anybody's toes, please curl them in. Everybody smile. Okay, there we go. I see some smiles. I see a few trying to smile. Just kidding. But in James, do you realize there has to be a test before you ask for wisdom? Do you realize in the beginning of James, it starts out, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Wow. And then it goes in, "If anyone lacks wisdom, wisdom, let him ask." Because you see, sometimes we go through trials, and if we didn't have a test, we wouldn't have a testimony. I was talking to a gentleman last week who asked us to pray because there was a man who accepted Christ and he was in jail. And he was going to be getting out soon. And he says, I just want him to keep following Christ. And I said, yeah, he's got a testimony when he gets out. And he's going to need godly wisdom. He's going to need you to come up under him and lead him and guide him into the Bible and to share the good news with him and show him who Jesus is. And use what the devil meant for bad, turn it around for good. Because I'll tell you what, that man, when he gets out of jail, he's not going to have it easy, because when he gets out, there's going to be people that are going to be condemning him. He's going to be on somebody's list way down here because of the sin he committed. But if he has Christ, he needs to be up here. We need to look at him differently. And that's what we need to do as Christians, is to watch the words of wisdom we give to other people. I love the book of Proverbs. I've read the book of Proverbs. At one point, I think it was my favorite book in the Bible. Because I went through a time when my kids were little, and I had two little ones under the age of 3. And I was raised in a family that wasn't really a Christian family. My parents were not really Christians, far from it. Didn't really go to church with my family, except for my grandma and aunt. But as far as my mom and dad goes, didn't have it. And I remember later, I had asked Christ as a teenager, and later then I kind of walked away from God, went my way, and then came back to God later. But I met Bob, and we got married, and we had these kids. But before we had those kids, now this is going to be weird. I don't know if I've even said this to anybody here. But before we had these kids, I told Bob I never want to have children, ever. I never want to have children. Because I do not want my kids to go through what I went through as a child. So I don't want kids. For the longest time, kids were not in the radar at all, were they, Bob? Never. I'm not going to have kids whatsoever. And then we finally talked and talked, and finally we decided to have children. And we had 2 kids. And I remember we started going to church, and our kids were there. And I remember one Sunday night, I was asked to take care of the kids during a revival service. And that week before that, man, my heart was ripped out. I was like seeking God, because I caught myself getting too angry at my kids. I caught myself not being Christ-like, and it bugged me. It was like, God, told you I didn't want to have kids for them to go through what I went through, and here I feel like I'm on this borderline of acting ungodly towards my kids. And I prayed. I said, God, I need your wisdom. I need it. I need it. I need it. And I went to church that night, and I was back there with the kids, and strangely enough, towards the middle, like the end of the service or whatever, some people came into children's church, some adults did, and they said, all nursery workers, all children's workers, go out to the sanctuary because the guest speaker wants to pray for everybody. I thought, yeah, rock on, yeah, that's great. And so I go out there, and like, I'm just thinking, this is it, God, this is it, God. And I walk up to this man, up to the altars, and this man looked at me, and he said, you're having problems raising your children, aren't you? And my heart just like, oh, how did you know that? And I said, yes. And I like hold one to cry so bad. And he told me this. And this is the best advice I've ever gotten. Ever gotten. It was words of wisdom, wisdom from above. He said, if you go to the book of Proverbs and underline every scripture about children, every scripture, and then you spread on from there and you find every scripture in your Bible and underline about children, I guarantee you, you'll never have problems with your kids. And I thought, whoa, And you know what I did? I went home and I read the book of Proverbs. And I underlined every scripture about children. And I told my kids those scriptures as if they were the breathing, living Word of God that was walking in our house, and there was no exception to what the Word of God said. This is what our God wants. And I breathed the life, the Word of God, to my children through these scriptures. And you know what? To this day, if you pick up this Bible and you flip through Proverbs, you're going to see the word children, 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 children marked in my Bible. Because I guarantee you, wisdom from above isn't what you're going to get out in this world, because this world is going to give you terrible wisdom to raise your kids. You wonder how I got to be a children's pastor? I think it was from that man standing up there and saying that to me. Because I cried. And yeah, my kids faltered a few times. They may have made some bad choices along the way, but they were so far above the rest around in this world that I cannot complain what few times my kids did get into a little bit of mischief. But we need to have godly wisdom. That changed my life. Because the Bible says in John 8:32, the truth will set you free. This Bible is the truth. This truth will set marriages free. This truth will set kids free. Mothers, fathers, kids, if you get the Word of God and you hide it in your heart, you will glorify God. Worldly wisdom, godly wisdom. But now let me get over to the worldly wisdom. We started out with two women that didn't live a good lifestyle. And it brought me in my mind to two women that I have met over the years. And my heart breaks for them even today. But one girl, I met her, I believe, when she was 14 years old. And there was a program going on that was called Leaders in Training. She was an LIT, which meant that I would take her up under my wing, and we would only choose 3 or 4 LITs, leaders in training. This was like the kids that you want to pick to pour your whole self into, give godly wisdom to. This girl lived in this, I'd call it ghetto. She lived in one of the roughest neighborhoods in town, in the complex. Whenever there was a shooting in the complex, it was kind of fun because the security guard would run and hide. Don't ask. I don't know. There was plenty of times. They'd lock, and then once everything settled down, the security guard would lock down the place, and they'd have to see your ID before you could even get into the complex. That's the kind of life she lived, constantly, all the time, this kind of stuff. She had, I think it was seven or eight brothers and sisters? I don't know. After the eighth, who counts, right? Crazy. But she came from a home where her mother had about 8 kids. She was the oldest girl, and the mother had never been married. She had, and the kids had at least three different fathers. So I'm telling you, she did not come from a godly home. I took this girl with me, and we would do Bible studies every week, and we'd pray together, and this girl was rising up to be a shining star for Jesus. She had wisdom from above. She was getting it. And so, not long after, we were there for about 3-4 years, then Bob and I moved to Columbia, Missouri, where I was working at a church. And this girl even came up to Columbia and stayed a couple weeks with us. And she was a black girl. She was a beautiful black girl. She was an awesome lady. She was just so precious. Well, her mama decided that she was going to take all the kids and move to Texas. She was fed up with all the drama. She was complaining about everything. She was just drama, 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 drama. And you know, when you move out of impulse like that, it's not good. So she took all of her kids to Texas, kind of lost track of this girl. One day, she'd call me up, and we'd talk. You going to church? Well, I've been trying churches, and da-da-da. Next time, are you going to church? Well, Mama's got mad at somebody at church. We're not going to church. Well, and pretty soon, I could see her having earthly wisdom, not godly wisdom. Hadn't heard a little bit from her, and I remember being there at church, and the phone rang, and I picked it up, and I said, "Hey, what you doing?" And she said, "Pastor Donna, you're going to hate me." And I said, "Babe, I can't hate you. What's up?" "No, you're going to hate me. I did something." And I said, "What?" Well, she said, I already called my mom's boyfriend, and he's a Christian. He goes to church." And I thought, okay, that's good. But he said that I was such a terrible sinner, God wasn't even going to forgive me, and he doesn't even want to talk to me anymore. And I said, "What?" And she says, "Well, I'm going to have a baby." Right there was a point where my heart dropped. I felt sick. Because God doesn't like sin. He hates sin. But God's a loving God and forgives sin. There's consequences to my sins. But there's forgiveness for my sins. At that moment, I had to decide what emotion I'm going to have with this girl. And I said, "You're going to give birth to a beautiful baby because God loves that child. You've made wrong decisions. You need to do what's right." And we talked and we talked, and she was just bawling hysterically. And before it was done, I encouraged her and encouraged her. Now, at this point, she's married, she has two kids, and she went to be a nurse from the ghetto. Can't say she's totally walking with the Lord because she's in the ghetto. But I still trust that godly wisdom will have its outcome with her. Now let's go to the other lady that I was telling you about. Now, I was at a church, and this girl, the week we moved to this church, this girl, she had given birth to a baby. Didn't think anything about it. She had her baby. She gave birth the same week we moved there. I got to know this girl. And this girl would come and sit in my office and talk with me. And we'd talk and all this. And come to find out the same thing. She had had a rough life. And she had a baby. But she was a little bit, I don't mean in a negative way, she was a little simple-minded. She just wasn't really the top-notch, smartest kid, had a rough life. But her mom and dad were upright, godly, awesome people. But this girl, unfortunately, this girl was not forgiven by the church. They didn't forgive her. She came to church. She tried so hard. And one night, we were painting at the church, and it was getting late, and we sat and got something to eat, and we were talking. And she says, "Pastor Donna, you're the only person that treats me like I'm forgiven." And that hit my heart. Because I'll tell you what, without a test, there's not a testimony. We do not condone what they did. It was wrong. It was sin, definitely. But when they try doing right, let's rally behind them. Because there's lots of family. I got family. You got family. Everybody's got family that's not walking with the Lord. And they do the most earthly ungodly things. But unless they have us to give them godly wisdom, and unless we reach out to them and try to let them know that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we may lose them forever. Because this one, she stopped going to church altogether, and she's running from God right now because she felt like she wasn't forgiven, and that's what everybody expected from her. People, when you go to down Elliot's, Spencer's, wherever you go, and you see these people that are living a life of sin, they need godly wisdom. They don't need condemnation. Because I'll tell you what, they know what they're doing is wrong. Down deep, they do. But as the church, we need to know godly wisdom versus earthly wisdom, and we don't need to tear them down farther than they already are. But they do need to know that sin is sin and they need to repent. They need to know that. They need to know that. You see, you can't go through this Bible very far without seeing the very same examples in here, but we just don't like to talk about it. Wisdom, third point is wisdom without God is not wisdom at all, because I am going to show you some of the ungodly decisions that are done in here. Not going to spend much time on it. I don't know what time it is. It might be getting late. Okay, earthly wisdom, godly wisdom, Tower of Babel. Earthly wisdom, God's wisdom. We're going to build a tower to the sky. We're going to be Lucifer, the devil. I am going to be as God. These are not good. Abraham, he had Hagar. He was with Hagar and they had Ishmael. That wasn't godly. How about Lot? Now, this is interesting. Abraham and Lot went to the land. Lot chose the most selfish part and looked out and said, "Ooh, I like that land. It's all green and lush and beautiful." And Abraham gets the desert. But Lot chose later to have his whole life fall apart in sin because he ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. And his wife had so much godly or earthly wisdom, turned into a pillar of salt. See, I choose the way of wisdom, the wisdom from above. I choose to be obedient to my King. I want to choose to do the right thing. So, as I close tonight, we need to apply the godly wisdom. You need to get into this word, use it to help you walk your walk. Because that is what God requires of us, is to be doers of the word, not hearers only. God loves you, but he also loves all those people out there. They're acting like really bad people. He loves them. He died for them. So can we take the opportunity this week to find somebody with an encouraging word, not a disgruntled look, but a word that says, "Hey, I love you." Just a pat, just a smile, just a word of encouragement to let them know God loves them. And no matter what test or trial they have been through, they are going through, that God still wants to be glorified through their life. And he will, if we give him the opportunity. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I love you. I thank you for your word that brings life. Father God, I know the situations were kind of on the dark side, but Lord, on the bright side is you are God. And you want to touch the hearts of men and women in our lives and in this world. And Father God, I pray that you give us wisdom, that if we ask, you'll give it to us. And Lord, we don't know what trials, I don't know what trials these people are going through, even in this room, but Lord, you do. I don't know the answer, but oh Lord, you do. Lord, Let them turn to the Word of God. Seek your face, and you will give wisdom, understanding, and life to any situation. And Lord, help us not be judgmental. Help us walk according to your Word. And Lord, let us show them what sin is, but let them show us what a forgiven person can be like. They can be free in Christ Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do this week, and we thank you what you've done tonight. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.